morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Thomas Watson here again on this nice and sunshiny April morning here at the historic Clay County Courthouse. And the weatherman says we're going to get up in the 80s today, maybe. So that's going to be just a little bit of a change. So we're looking forward to a beautiful day. Maybe no rain till maybe late tonight. So things are going to pop out of the ground just like crazy all around here in Clay County. And, of course, we'd like to welcome everyone in here to our Thursday morning broadcast. We're here live in living color on WVFB FM 101.5 Kick Country. And, of course, we'll have our regular rebroadcast this evening at 6 p.m. And I also want to remind everyone that these shows are streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon newspaper site. So you can go there and listen to us. And got an interesting show this morning. First up here in a few minutes, I got Sandy Norris here with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about genealogy. We're going to check into each other's background here, I guess. But I know they've got some things going on that are part of the sesquicentennial celebration, which we're getting closer and closer to. We're counting down now. We'll begin that, of course, the first of next year, and we've got just all kinds of things we're still planning, and we still need all kinds of volunteers. And any kind of idea that you've got, some way to celebrate our county during this, its 150th birthday, we'd like to have folks to come into one of our meetings or just go by the chamber and volunteer yourself. I know we've had some folks that did that, and we're getting quite a few people on our committees. And one of the things I know she's going to be, like I said, talking about genealogy here in a few minutes, and some other things that she's got going on and the Clay County Library's got going on in some other workshops. And we'll be talking to her here just in a few minutes. And let's see, what have we got here? Let's see, we've got down at the schools, we've got spring sports going on down at the high school and the junior high. And I believe I've seen the practice lights on for the little baseball players down at the park. So that's getting ready to start up. And it's getting to be spring fishing weather time. I think maybe they've got the water up and down kind of settled down on the lake. And we're going to have fishermen coming in here. It's just going to be beginning of a busy time of the year again. And I know it's not going to be too long until we start having celebrations and things all around here. And it's just going to be another great, great, great season here in the county of Clay and all around us. And we'd like, of course, to invite anyone that's listening to this or ever streams it on the Internet site to come visit us here in Clay County. You'll be surprised what all you can see and do while you're here. And with that little plug, I think the first thing I'm going to do is we'll thank everyone that makes this possible, especially the Three-Star Committee and the Chamber of Commerce and the county government here, all the folks that help support this in one way or another. And we want to especially thank those folks that advertise. And if you would like to be an advertiser on our show, give them a call up at the radio station, and they can fix you right up. And with that, let's take a little short break, come back, and I'm going to talk to Mrs. Sandy Norris a few minutes, and we'll let her talk about what she's got going on. And then a little bit later on, I think maybe Matthew Craig is coming on. I think we've got the tree sale cranked up down at the soil conservation place, and some other things we may need to talk to him about. So we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion,
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. It's a great morning to be here. It's great to be here in the corner room here at the courthouse. We do have the fireplace going a little bit this morning just to take a little bit of the chill off the air. And first off, with our birthdays and anniversaries, I need to apologize to everyone. We had some type of glitch with our answering machine apparently for the entire week last week. And I usually get a call after about the first or second call then. It doesn't work right, but I did get a call. But we didn't have any on there. And I went and tried the machine, and we had some kind of screeching on there. So we restarted it, and it's working now. And what we'll try to make up for that next week, anyone that celebrated a birthday this week or next week can call in, and we try to give away maybe a couple of the anniversary birthday cakes. So just remember that. We're sorry about that, but I do have a couple I'll announce a little bit later on that someone told me about, but we won't be drawing a cake and giving away a cake today. And let's see, before we start, since we're talking about things that happened on this day, I saw a couple of interesting things on today in history on this one. Not a whole bunch today, but some very, very groundbreaking things. In 1879, the first U.S. Congress began regular sessions under President George Washington at Federal Hall in New York City, which was the capital of the nation for the first session of Congress, while they were building the new city out in the wilderness down in Virginia, which became our national capital in 1791. And then another major thing that happened, not hardly as important as the one that happened in California in 1849, but in 1896, the big gold discovery up in the Yukon in Alaska. And everybody went north to Alaska to dig for gold. We'll throw in a little pitch for the old country song there. And the movie with John Wayne. And in 1975, I guess this was a major, major thing. The Microsoft Corporation was founded by Bill Gates and Paul Allen to develop and sell a basic language for this new computer thing that was coming down the pike. And from that, it has developed into all this stuff we see around us today. And if you've never messed with a basic language, don't. All of these things, all these commands that the computer does are actually used to be all typewritten and typed out. And those typed commands then would turn into activities on the computer screen. It's an amazing thing to look at sometimes. But they were doing this for a computer. One of the first ones called it Altair 8800, and I think it's about as big as this room. So been a great change since 1975. And with that, good morning, Sandy.
Good morning to you. And I have a noted event. In 1843, Marshall County, Kentucky started celebrating the sweet potato, and it's still going on. So today is Tater Day in Marshall County, Kentucky.
I think I have one of my former students that lives up there.
Well, see, he's probably eating sweet potatoes today.
So I may have to send her and tell her to send me some sweet tater pie.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Sandy, I know that the sesquicentennial celebration is coming up, and I know that you're working on something very, very important. And one of the things that you're going to be doing, you're going to talk to us about what you've got coming up.
Yeah, we are working on the compiling a book on as many family trees as we can get from residents of Clay County. And we are starting to have workshops from the first and last Saturday of each month. I will be at the library helping people. And there's other organizers that will be at different churches, community centers, and so forth. Tomorrow, there will be a couple at Moss Church of Christ. So if you need help to get started on your family tree, come either to the library or tomorrow at the Moss Church. And they will be there at 10 o'clock. We'll have the forms, and like I said, we'll get you started. It's very simple to do, and we'll help you look it up on the computer or in the census records and so forth and help you fill it out. We're trying to get as many family trees as we can because we're going to put it in a big book. And this is something for future residents or genealogists that will say 50 years from now will come in and look for their family, and they will be able to go to this book. So we're asking for a lot of participation.
Okay, now just exactly what does this involve, Sandy?
Well, we have a form, and it actually starting with yourself, it will list four previous generations and say your parents, then your grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents. And you'll put underneath them their brothers and sisters. But I started helping people several weeks ago, and we can go back in the census records itself and get the detail on the brothers and sisters and so forth.
Okay, and what kind of information do they need? I mean, do they need to bring anything with them?
They can, well, we're asking because Melissa White is going to be working on a digital collection. And what that means is you can bring, like, pictures, Bible records, whatever records you have, and at the library we can scan them in right then, give you your records back, and even at the churches where they had the meetings, they will be able to scan them and hand you your originals right back then. And then this will go in what we call a digital collection to preserve old records, basically.
Okay, you know, and that's something that I guess, you know, in the rural South, most of our so-called records, they have been digitally stored, but it's been in our digital brain.
That's exactly right.
Now generation to generation. And now we're getting removed, from the time our county started. Like I said, we're right now looking at what our fourth or fifth generation back with, and so much of that information, there's a possibility a lot of it can be lost because not all information can be found from census information and things like that.
Now, we're also wanting oral stories. You know, we can set up a recorder and record your story, or we can write it down, or you can write it down, and we'll transcribe it into a digital record.
Okay. Now, you want to go ahead and give the rest of the sites that...
Starting tomorrow... Like I said, we'll be at Moss Church of Christ at 10 o'clock. All these times will be at 10 o'clock. April the 13th at Ashlock Church of Christ. April 24th at the Clay County Senior Citizens Center. I will take forms over there and see if we can get some business up over there. And then April 27th at Free Hill Rosenwald School. May the 4th at Hermitage Shields. And May 18th at Butler's Landing Church of Christ, and June 8th at the Maple Grove Community Center. And then we'll have other dates as we go along. We're going to try to be there twice at each location in the spring and in the fall.
Okay, and I know everyone thinks, well, hey, you know, this is still a long time off, but it's really not now. I mean, but the time, all the research that needs to be done in some instances, a lot of this stuff is going to be hard to find, and I know from a personal thing looking at my family tree, I really have no idea who five generations are back on some of the on part of my family. And, you know, some of them you do, but a lot of them you don't. So, you know, this is something that it's going to be important to your children and your grandchildren. A sense of belonging is one of the greatest things that comes out of this.
Well, when I started doing genealogy about 30 years ago, of course, there was very few records online on the computer. There was hardly any websites you could go to. So it was a matter of going to the courthouse, talking to grandma, and then going to the courthouse and digging through files and records and so forth. Now, it's amazing to me how much is on the computer. Ancestry.com. Everybody that I've helped so far, I was able to track right back through on Ancestry.com. Because they will flag and tell you where your next generation is. They will give you a list of names, and it's a matter of, does this make sense or not?
Okay, and I know a site that I think I've seen a lot of people use that, you know, we kind of think it as a morbid type thing, but there's a place online where you can actually go into and search cemeteries.
Right, find a grave.
Find a grave, yeah. And you just go in there also and type a name. If you have a name of a great-great-great-grandfather, whatever, who may be buried somewhere in Clay County, you can go in there, and usually, if there's any, and there's usually records on lots and lots of people there,
right.
And there will be maybe if there's a picture available, there'll be a picture there, and it will also list parents and brothers and sisters there.
And a lot of times they will put an old obituary on there.
Right. And so there's just, you know, lots of ways to go about finding these things. But the biggest thing is, you know, you've got to do it.
Yeah, got to do it. And now I do want to make one point. This is for everyone that is currently living in Clay County. For instance, my husband and I have only been here 18 years, but we filled a form out. So it's not like you have to, have to go back five generations in order to be in the
right.
book. It's present. Citizens of Clay County.
Okay, now there's another category where we talk, where you go back, called the first family.
The first family.
Families,
yes.
Of Clay County. And that's the one where you trace your genealogy back to the time that Clay County was formed.
Yeah.
Or back farther when it was part of Jackson or Overton or whatever.
If you can trace it back to we're saying the 1880 census, because that was the first true Clay County census, was the 1880. Even though we formed in 1870, the census was done in Overton and Jackson in 1870. So if you have a fourth great grandfather appearing in the 1880 census, then we can get you in the first families of Clay County. You would get a certificate and to hang on your wall, and it would cost $15 to get it. But again, I think that would be such a neat gift for an older relative or one of your kids or something for Christmas. I would be excited. I'm too bad I'm not a native of Clay County. I would do it. I do want to say this. Trudy Weber, I think everybody knows Trudy. I was doing her genealogy. Now, she was born in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And the reason why I was doing her genealogy, because I'm also a native Kentuckian. Well, I tracked her right back to the Gass family of Clay County. So she is part of Clay County's history. She's also part of Fort Boonesboro history, because John Gass was, I don't know if everybody read their Fort Boonesboro, but Jemima Boone and the two Callaway girls were kidnapped by Indians, and John Gass, a young man at the fort, swam the river, Kentucky River, and retrieved the canoe that the girls had been kidnapped out of. And he was also one of the trackers with Daniel Boone that tracked the girls down and got them back. So that is also a relative of Trudy's and the Gass family down here.
Okay, we've got to take a little break, get a commercial in, and we'll be right back just in a second. Hey, that might make a good TV show. Daniel, I think I remember it, though, already.
Yeah.
We'll be back just in a minute.
After over 60 years, formerly Pennington Scrap Iron and Metal in Tompkinsville and Pennington's Auto Parts in Moss, Tennessee, are announcing they are officially closing. On behalf of Mitchell, Gary, and Stephen Pennington, Mike Combs, Joe Brown, and all the employees over the years. They would like to say thank you to the customers and for all the good friendships that they have made in Monroe County, Kentucky, and Clay County, Tennessee, and all surrounding counties on both states. Thank you from the bottom of our heart, and God bless each and every one of you. That is formerly Pennington's Scrap Iron and Metal here in Tompkinsville, and Pennington's Auto Parts in Moss, Tennessee, are officially closing, effective immediately, after over 60 years. Tri-County Electric once again warns members of a scam. Tri-County Electric members have reported receiving phone calls stating they have unpaid bill and power will be disconnected if no payment is made within 45 minutes. They are directing customers to call 1-800-508-4310 to make this payment. Unfortunately, some of the scammers have become sophisticated enough that Tri-County will sometimes show up on your caller ID. No one from Tri-County Electric will ever contact you asking for payment or for any personal information, and we recommend that you contact your local law enforcement agency regarding any solicitation requesting personal information. Please be aware and alert regarding this potential scam. It is always better to be safe than sorry. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, Sandy, sometimes I'm sitting here and I looked on Facebook and I saw some things before, and I saw on the Pine Hill Church of Christ, someone had a picture on there, one of the old country stores here in Clay County. It just had, you know, what a great collection that would make for the sesquicentennial, for someone to try and track down all the other little country stores that we had in Clay County at one time.
You can do a whole section on that.
I mean, I'm wondering how many hundreds of those there were probably in, you're just in Clay County. Because, you know, everyone had to have a place where they could walk to the so-called store in those days. And they were just all over the place, weren't they?
Yeah.
And same thing up in Kentucky. You know, I can remember going across the state line over in Kentucky, over in the Turkey Neck Bend, how many little country stores were over there, which was, of course, pretty much isolated part of Monroe County. And they, I can remember those. I thought, you know, that might be a neat little subject for someone to try to find all the old photographs they can, the folks that own those.
Now, my great-great-uncle his wife started a little country store in the front room of their house during the Depression.
Right.
Because, you know, there was not an easy way to get into town. Gas was hard to find. And he would go to town once a month, Richmond, Kentucky, and get basics and bring it back, and they would sell it. That's how their little country store got started, was in the front room of their house.
You know, I'm not going back that many generations, but I can remember as a fairly young child the idea of going to the grocery store and picking out your next shirt, which would be encased in cow feed at that time, or a flour sack, one or the other. I don't know. I know somewhere along the line the flour sack people and a lot of the cotton people that sold their goods in cotton goods, they would have printed sacks, and then of course take them home, and moms would turn them into
and
your
clothes. I wore many a feed sack dress,
and feed sack dress, yeah. And things, which is another part of our history here in this area, and the history all over the South. Okay, Sandy, I know you've got some other workshops that you're going to be doing this summer. Other than
well, this starts next year. We will have probably 8 to 10 workshops, maybe more, you know, depending on the interest, at the library. Like, I will give one. My big love is the Civil War, and I will be doing one on how to research military records for the Civil War and how to read the records when you do find them. Melissa will be doing one on DNA. I think Laura Parsons, excuse me, we'll be doing one on DAR, how to get in the DAR. And there's going to just be so many workshops, and we'll be doing them at the library. So,
okay. Now, things that you can find at our library. I know we've got great Internet access there, which gives you access to all of these things. So, you know, if you don't have, you know, Internet at home, which I think a lot of our people, a few of them still don't have, the library is available for that to come in there and do research, and also printed materials there in our library.
Yeah, we have a lot of printed materials. We have Jackson County, Overton County census records going all the way back. We have the Clay County Census, of course. But through the Tennessee State Library and Archives, there's a system on there called TEL, T-E-L. We will have a class on that, but you can get in there as a Tennessee citizen and do a lot of research online through the state library. They also, you can also go back and read every copy of the Tennessean going back to early 1800s, which is, to me, is just fascinating to read the old stories. So there's a lot of available research online within the state, but you can come down to the library. We'll get you on the TEL system, and like I said, we're there to help you.
And I know I've mentioned this before. One of the handiest tools that I've run into is a thing called newspapers.com, and they have newspapers from all over the United States going back, I know, as far back as they could, you know, find published copies and scan those and put them online. And it's very handy in that you can go in, and like if you know you had a relative that lived in Pennsylvania in the 1880s, you can go back there and you can type in their name and the area where they came from and limit it to a certain period of time. And anything that would come up that would have been published in one of the major newspapers in that area, it'll pop up the articles for you.
Yeah, I was doing a research on a feud in my dad's hometown, and it was amazing. This was back in the 1840s and 50s, and every major newspaper in the country at that time, New York Times, New Orleans paper, all the major newspapers picked up the story on the feud. So it's just fascinating how much you can find. Just I have newspapers.com too, and I get on there and read, like, you know, it's current events or something, but it's fascinating to read that.
Okay, and I know looking back at the things that you're trying to do with the genealogy thing, and, you know, once you start, it's hard to stop when you get back that fifth or sixth generation. And I know I've had some cousins that did some research, and they have searched part of my family all the way back to Scotland. And, of course, then, you know, if you're really, really into it, you can take a trip over there and go through. There's a lot of material there, a lot of handwritten material that has been transcribed and saved that you can even go back much farther than what you're into.
Well, in colonial America, they kept very good records. And there are books on families that you can go back. If you track your family back to colonial times, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, there's usually a book somebody has written on your family that will help give you a boost to your genealogy.
You know, and one of the interesting things I remember in visiting Ellis Island, I know there they had some photostats of some of the original books that people coming into the country from Italy or wherever they came from, Ireland, where they would actually sign in with the names of their family members, their ages, the country they came from. Very, very interesting just to look through some of those things and look at maybe they even had their occupation down, that type of thing. Very, very interesting information in places like that.
Well, my kids on their father's side of the family were Irish. They came over here during the potato famine. So my kids had not ever studied about the potato famine. And when they did, they were really shocked at what went on in Ireland in the 1840s. But their direct ancestor came over within 6 years or so. He was signed up in the Union Army fighting for his new country.
Well, Sandy, are we ready to wind up?
I do want to say one more thing. I'm through with compiling the Union Soldiers of Clay County. So I will take a copy down to the library when I'm down there, and you all can search for your name and look and make any corrections. But this is just the Union Soldiers that were out of this area.
All right. Thank you very much. And with that, we'll take a little short break. And remember, all the workshops, the first one coming up, I believe that'll be about this Saturday.
Yep. Right?
At Moss Church of Christ.
And I'll be at the library.
And she'll be at the library to help you do all these things. So get started on this and find out who you are, where you came from. With that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Yeah, we'll just... Welcome back, everyone. Call me right in mid-sentence here. We'd like to welcome everyone back for the next part of our show today. Matthew Craighead has made it up, and it's that time of the year again. This is, I know he comes in between these times, but this is pretty much an annual event every year when they have the big tree sale down at the Soil Conservation Office, and it's that time again. We'll start off, Matthew. Tell us what's going on down there right now.
Well, Thomas, thanks for having me on here. And like you say, this is starting to get to be a regular event for me to be on the radio. And, of course, the first couple times I was up here, I was nervous as could be, but then this morning, I come close to forgetting about it, so I guess my nerves are starting to leave me. But, yeah, every year we do a tree sale for the Soil Conservation District, and it's one of our fundraisers, and we use that money to help with district activities throughout the year. It helps us put on our banquet that we do in the fall, helps keep our equipment up for that the public can use, and things like that.
Okay, what do we got?
Well, this year we've actually got a good assortment, and we've got some really nice trees. We bought from two nurseries out of the Smithville-McMinnville area, and the quality this year was excellent. And we've got a good variety of fruit trees, everything from apple trees, peach trees. Got an abundance of blueberries this year. We've got some sweet cherries left, which we've not had in the last few years. Got some grapes, some muscadines, a few fig trees, some persimmons, and then in our flowering shrubs, we've got azaleas, burning bushes, butterfly bushes, crepe myrtles, hydrangeas, lilacs, game magnolias, roses, and snowballs. And then we've got our flowering cherry trees, which is what you'll see if you come into town, the white flowering trees. We've got some white dogwoods, some pin oaks, some weeping willows, and a few other assorted trees.
And you still got all of them down there?
We've got most of them left. We started selling on Tuesday, and our sale has actually went really well so far. Of course, we've had some really nice weather to sell in.
It's been a couple of nice days, and it's great time to get out and dig a hole in the ground, put a tree out, isn't it?
It is, and this is different than most years. The running joke is if you want it to get cold and start raining, just let us schedule a tree sale.
Right. I know many cold, drizzly mornings out here on the corner before you moved. Maybe that was a good move when you moved down out of the rain area.
Yeah. Of course, we have our shelter down there now that we normally park equipment under, and we clean that out, and we've got our trees set up, and we can keep the office open that way, and you can see it from the square, so it works out pretty well.
Okay, and as you said, some of the events that you were talking about sponsoring, you want to maybe tell the folks about those events a little bit? I know we've talked about some of these before, but we need to remind folks. Some of them may be forgetful like me.
Well, of course, one of the biggest questions I get asked is what exactly the Soil Conservation District does. And their primary function is they help administer conservation plans and practices with landowners in the county. And it's an all-voluntary program, and we've got different fund pools that we can pull from to help cost share on different practices. And these are going to be conservation things such as excluding animals from sensitive areas such as streams. We can help on some wildlife practices, some forestry stuff, and we've got just really a huge range of things that we can do. But then the district also does stuff like we have about 7 different pieces of equipment that the county can use, they can rent out. Normally we'll do a field day every year for the farmers in the county, and we've not scheduled one yet, but sometime between now and the end of the year we'll be having a field day that citizens can attend in the county. In the fall we'll do our annual banquet where we recognize some of the outstanding farmers and conservationists across the county. We sponsor, there's a youth program called the Envirothon, and we sponsor 2 Envirothon teams from the high school. We'll do a couple scholarships every year, and then several other things on top of that.
Okay, I know one of our sensory farms sold in parcels recently. If family members bought part of that farm, can they still maintain that as a part of a sensory farm or something? I wonder if you could address that maybe.
I could probably speak on that. I think extension has a little more to do with that, but I've looked into it for my own farm, and this is coming off the top of my head, but if the original family owns so many acres of the farm, I think it's 5 or 10, and it's not left out of the family in the past 100 years, that qualifies it as a sensory farm. And I think it still has to be producing a form of agricultural product.
Okay, and that would be like if a grandfather owned it, so it would include not necessarily maybe the family that had it during that time, but other members of the family from the original owner, or?
I'm not 100% sure on that. That's a little more technical details, and I slept a few nights since I read through that.
You mean you don't remember everything the next morning?
Not always.
Okay, now, I know here in the county, the other day I happened to be walking through the community center down there, and I saw a bunch of you guys standing up in front of a map and looking at things. And, of course, I questioned you what was going on, and you said it had something to do with the project that I remember as a youngster that took place here in Clay County, and that was the building of the watershed dams.
The watershed dams are interesting because we have a lot to do with them, and we was part of the original creation of those. And, Thomas, people like you probably knows the impact more so than my generation and the younger generations. And so what the watershed dams are is they're flood control structures that's been built in Clay County, Jackson County, Macon County, really all over the Upper Cumberland and across the state. And we've got one in Clay County in Hermitage Springs, the Henson Watershed is what it's called, or Line Shed 3B is its Line Creek 3B is its official name. And it helps protect the Hermitage Springs area from flooding. It's one of its primary sources. And if you head a little south into Jackson County, just right outside the edge of Clay County on Jennings Creek, there's at least 6 or 8 different watershed dams throughout it. And you can talk to some of the older generation that can remember before the watershed dams, and Jennings Creek would flood on a regular basis. And since with the building of them, that helped control the flooding there.
And I think some of those over the years have been abandoned, have they, and maybe drained or?
Not necessarily abandoned or drained. Of course, the primary creation of them was for a flood control structure. So they'll function even without any water standing in them. They'll still function and hold water back during a flood event. Now, of course, their original lifespan, I think, was about 75, between 50 and 75. And we're getting to the end of that lifespan now. So what the state and NRCS has been doing is they've been assessing these watershed dams to see what kind of shape they're in and see if there's any repairs or additions that's needed to them.
And, of course, being a youngster during that period of time, I can remember, you know, this really wasn't an easy sale to build these things, because I can remember some of my relatives, you know, were soundly against those and would not allow them to be built on the upper part of on the creeks on their property. They were just scared to death we were going to have state parks. in each one of these little lakes.
I'm sure that was a big concern. I mean, you're dealing with land rights and people coming in and altering your land in a way that you may not have wanted. But they do serve a good function, and they're all privately owned. There's easements on the deeds for them, but as far as actual ownership of the lake, you know, they're privately owned. And
Right. And I do know that most of them, a lot of them, boats down in Jackson County got stocked with some big bluegill, brim, some fish.
They several of them that's made very nice small lakes for people to enjoy.
And, of course, the owners had problems with keeping their lakes... keeping their neighbors coming over and doing a little fishing late at night.
I'm sure there's been all kinds of problems for them throughout the years. I want to switch gears here for just a second. And we recently had an election for our Soil Conservation District Board. And Mr. Cornell Scott decided to retire off the board this year, and he didn't run for re-election. And Mr. Travis Cherry actually got re-elected into his spot. And then Dale McLaren and Harlan Trowball both got re-elected back to their positions.
So that's our officers again now.
Yeah, and then on top of that, our two appointed members will be Vonda Coleman, and then George Melton is our president.
Okay. Now, you know, back on the flood control thing, I know if you drive into Salina and you look over at across the field there to the right coming into Salina, you'll notice there is an embankment all the way down the creek through there. And best I remember, that was also part of this watershed thing, because there aren't any, I don't think there aren't any of the watershed dams on Proctor.
Now, that'd be and we've actually got the pictures from this project that took place back, I think it was during the 60s.
Right.
And it was a major project involving multiple landowners in the Soil Conservation District. And the interesting thing about that is, at that time, the Soil Conservation District had a NRCS district conservation zone staff, but all he provided at that time was just technical assistance. So they didn't have any funding for those projects. So he come in and he laid out the project and what all was needed to fix the flood control problems there. But then the landowners and actually the Soil Conservation District people volunteered to help build those structures.
And that's the reason why that those fields don't fill up with water now as much as they once did.
Yeah, and that was a multi-part project. I've looked through some of the pictures, and it involved not only the embankments, but some drainage control and some jetties and a few other things.
So it wasn't just an easy project, was it?
No.
But I know that a lot of folks probably didn't realize. Of course, I was a youngster at that time. I can remember when it happened, and I can remember how the Proctor Creek used to flood all those fields down through there every spring and protected the land.
Yeah, and something I think about a lot is the Soil Conservation District serves a very important function, and I wonder just how much that the younger generation sees as to how important that is. Because, like Thomas, like you said, you can remember before a lot of these projects was completed and kind of a different time and seen some of the real erosion problems that we had before that we've addressed and fixed and don't have today.
You know, I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was in high school, the hills up behind there, Scott's Best Way, all down through there, they were just red clay ditches all up down through there. And Mr. E.W. Fox, who was the agriculture teacher, we spent one entire spring out planting pine trees around through there. And the pine trees that I guess most of those are gone now, because they did their job. Those ditches filled in, and it's a whole lot different, a different look of the landscape up through there. And at one time, of course, went up the, you would see pine trees just all over the hillside up there, where high school students actually went out and planted them all over the county.
Yeah, that the stuff like that really interests me, and I was looking through some of the old pictures at our office, and of course strawberry production was big in the county at one time, and there was a picture of where the DC had went out to a strawberry field, and it had been plowed and put on a hillside, and literally the entire patch of strawberries had washed to the bottom of the field of the hill, and they got a zero yield on strawberries out of that patch. So, you know, problems like that have existed in the past, you know, we don't see stuff like that today. And I think a big part of that is because of the work of NRCS and the Soil Conservation Districts.
And, you know, I know the old story of years ago about the guy traveling down the road down toward Arcot, on through there, and he came through, and the guy's farmer's laying out there in the road, and him and his mule and plow laying there in the road, and he was just sputtering and carrying on there. Well, the guy asked, what's wrong? He said, it's the fourth time today I fell out of my field. So we had a few hillside farms back in those days.
Yeah, most people wouldn't believe it, but the majority of the cleared land in this county was plowed at some point. And a lot of the land that had grown back up was plowed at some point.
You know, okay, now along that line, how many acres of tillable land, this may be something, approximately do we have in Clay County now, that would be considered tillable?
Do you want to define that as tillable or as croppable? Because with, you know.
Okay, they're probably croppable. I mean, you know, most everything could be tillable that's not on the mountainside.
We'll go with croppable because that's more of the today's standard. You know, tillage has almost become a thing of the past as far as large-scale farming, and that's due to multiple reasons. But I know we have several thousand acres that could be cropped in the county, but, of course, cattle is our primary land base here just because of the terrain and the size of the farms. You know, most farms are in the county are, I'm going to say, less than 100 acres, and of that 100 acres, they may only have 10 acres that's croppable. And in today's economy, you know, it's just not feasible to crop that small of an acre. So, you know, the returns are just not there.
So, okay, now, cash crops. What about our new cash crop that's coming in? Have you been to any workshops on that or anything yet?
You're going to say the H word, aren't you?
Yes.
So hemp is that's the buzzword of choice right now in the agricultural community. And I've attended a couple of the workshops, and I've talked to some of the people that are interested in growing it in the county, and I honestly, I don't know what to tell them because I'm hearing multiple answers on the crop, on how it's grown, and I'm hearing multiple answers on how it's sold.
Okay, and is this something, is it going to be something like the old tobacco-based type thing, or...
Well, people, that's the first thing that I kept hearing is that it's going to replace tobacco. But the UT expert on it, and I quote his words here, it's going to be three times more labor intensive than a tobacco crop was. So I see it being very labor intensive. And then, of course, what made tobacco so desirable was the government-backed tobacco program that provided for basically a set price and a guaranteed contract at the end of the year. So you could bank on having X dollars for your crop at the end of the year. And I'm not, and it may be there and I've just not seen it yet, but I'm not seeing that in the hemp industry. It's a very loose industry with not a lot of guarantees right now. And I'm hearing a lot of variation in price on what's being sold and even where it's sold at.
That's what I was wondering. You know, the volatility of the product when you get through with it, you know, is there going to be any, you know, is it going to be a moneymaker or is it going to be a farm breaker?
Well, that's a very good question, and I can see it easily going either direction. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be people that's going to make some very good money in the hemp industry, and then I'm sure there's going to be people that's going to lose it. Of course, it's on the very front end, and a lot of it is people just don't know. You know, we still don't know exactly what the best method of growing hemp in Tennessee is and what varieties are going to perform the best, and even, you know, the harvesting process and the drying process, you know, there's people that have ideas, but as far as proven techniques, they're not there yet.
Okay, and there are actually two forms of that, isn't there? There is an oil-based product, which I guess requires processing, and then the other processing is a drying and using the fibers of the plant.
Yes, so of course what you're hearing the most noise about is the oil production, because that's got the most dollars attached to it. That's where people are thinking they're going to be able to make some really high returns. And then the other kind of hemp is a hemp that's grown for fiber. And some of the older generation, if you was in this area during the World War II years, would have probably seen a lot of hemp production here then. That was a big crop because it was what was helped you during the war effort to replace a lot of the rope manufacturing materials and some of the cloth manufacturing materials. And it's more like a row crop returns, is my understanding on it. And you cut it and dry it and then you bale it like hay.
Okay, let's take a little short break on that, and we'll work in a couple of words from our sponsors. I don't think we've got any hemp sponsors on here, but we've got some great sponsors that make this possible, and we want to remind everyone, you know, if you hear their name on this, go visit with them and spend your money there. Don't take all your money out of town. Yeah, spend a lot of it here in Salina. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
After over 60 years, formerly Pennington Scrap Iron and Metal in Tompkinsville and Pennington's Auto Parts in Moss, Tennessee, are announcing they are officially closing. On behalf of Mitchell, Gary, and Stephen Pennington, Mike Combs, Joe Brown, and all the employees over the years, they would like to say thank you to the customers and for all the good friendships that they have made in Monroe County, Kentucky, and Clay County, Tennessee, and all surrounding counties on both states. Thank you from the bottom of our heart, and God bless each and every one of you. That is formerly Pennington's Scrap Iron and Metal here in Tompkinsville and Pennington's Auto Parts in Moss, Tennessee, are officially closing effective immediately after over 60 years. Tri-County Electric once again warns members of a scam. Tri-County Electric members have reported receiving phone calls stating they have unpaid bill and power will be disconnected if no payment is made within 45 minutes. They are directing customers to call 1-800-508-4310 to make this payment. Unfortunately, some of the scammers have become sophisticated enough that Tri-County Electric will sometimes show up on your caller ID. No one from Tri-County Electric will ever contact you asking for payment or for any personal information, and we recommend that you contact your local law enforcement agency regarding any solicitation requesting personal information. Please be aware and alert regarding this potential scam. It is always better to be safe than sorry. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We have, golly, Matthew, I don't know how much information we've got out. We've done a lot of talking here the last little bit.
You know, Thomas, I just thinking, I'd say the sponsors are starting to dread when me and you get on here and start talking, because I believe the last time we talked for 30 minutes straight without a commercial break, and we've merely done that this time.
Sometimes I have to be reminded, and thank goodness I got somebody that does. I know we were talking about the hemp, and, of course, as you said, probably back a few years after the war, if you drove through some of these counties down the back road, you would probably see what became wild hemp just growing out on the side of the road. And the hemp we were talking about then was for burlap sacks, ropes, I know that's kind of where some of the nicknames for the park that you lit up, you know, they used to say, I can remember you probably came, but they were smoking rope.
I'll take your word for it, Thomas. And Thomas, we got just a minute here. We've talked quite a bit about the past, but I'm going to jump to the future for just a minute. And you were talking about shopping local, and that kind of reminded me that our farmer's market effort is starting to fire back up. And I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but June 15th is going to be the opening, around that date is going to be when the opening of the Clay County Farmer's Market is going to be.
Yeah, I think we've got another committee meeting coming up here sometime in the next little bit.
Yeah, of course, Miss Kristen Clements is there. Miss Kristen Rich now.
I got to watch that problem too.
Is the one that is helping to head that effort up, and there's a committee going. And last year we had somewhat of success with it, and I'm hoping to see it grow to more this year.
And I believe I heard her say at the meeting we had that she's got some commitments from some folks with some greenhouses maybe that are going to have a little bit more constant supply of some things, maybe.
That's one thing we're working on is getting some more people involved from the selling end, because I believe the consumer is there. We just need some people that's growing produce.
And get it over here. Of course, you know, like we said before, the traditional thing was here in this area, if you had something left over, you called your neighbors and you give it away. And, of course, a lot of them, if you give it to them, they'll take it to the farmer's market and sell it for you.
Yeah, and that is the truth of this area. But one thing to remember is, you know, we have a lot of tourists and lake traffic that comes through, and they love the opportunity to buy fresh produce.
Right, and any other, and I think we've looked at that produce or maybe even some handcrafted thing maybe trying to add this year. I think I heard something along that line.
Yeah, I'm sure there's several people out there that's got some bee products and stuff like that fit right in at the farmer's market.
And, you know, the furniture makers, if we've got some folks, I mean, just something you made yourself and not imported from outside the county, that's kind of the things we're looking at. And, you know, non-commercial things. I know that's something that you got to be careful with these. But we just need to get people to come here and get stuff here on the square for us.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing we need, because my understanding last year was everybody that set up on the square to sell stuff sold out fairly quickly. The biggest problem was not people there to buy it, but just people there to sell.
I know, and I don't know. Well, what do we got? What will be the first thing be coming in, the old word, coming in about that time?
Of course, your cool season crops, they may be done by then. Of course, that's going to be like your cabbages and your broccolis. Everybody gets a head start with them, and then if you... Depending on how the weather goes, you might have some early tomatoes starting then or along that line.
Okay, and, of course, the tomato, that's my favorite of all of them. So, but, you know, folks, if you're listening and you've got a little spot of ground, it ain't too late right now to get some stuff out, because we're going to keep going until, what, how long did we go last year with it? September? I can't remember. But I know we were here a pretty good while.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head either, but yeah, it's going to run through the fall, I know. Of course, the later summer, when most of your crops come in, like your sweet corn and stuff like that. And
I know things, too, you know, that we don't think of. I know there are a few people here in the county that have some just some vineyards out beside the house or out in the field, and I know they wind up with all kinds of grapes, and they try to give away and you know, pick some of those things off and bring them over here to the farmer's market. I guarantee you can sell them. Well, Matthew?
Was that the horn?
No. It's your chance for your other annual plug. Now, folks, we're doing this because one of the things, I know Matthew don't necessarily like to take credit for this, but after he has his sale of plants and things, he donates everything that's left over, and they bring them over and they donate it here to the courthouse. And the beautiful flowers that you see growing here all during the year are compliments of Matthew and his greenhouse.
Yeah, that's something we've done for several years, and it works out good. The 4-H and the FFA kids, they volunteer their time to plant them, and we've been fortunate to get some of the local farm stores to donate some potting soil, and we have a day, and we'll plant the square with everything that I have left over. So that's a good project. And Thomas, I'm going to plug that Easter weekend is when we're opening this year, and we've got a kind of a little bit bigger event going this year. We're going to have some vendors there and have some food and some photographers and stuff along that line. And at 3 p.m. on the Saturday of Easter weekend, we're having an Easter egg hunt that's free to anybody that wants to come.
So we're turning this into a celebration.
It's become that.
And I know, and if you need your plants, come out and do that. And like I said, we really appreciate Matthew and his generosity. So don't buy everything out there. Leave us a few to put here around the courthouse. But with that, I guess we're getting just about out of time. And I've got a couple of a birthday and an anniversary. As I said, we didn't get any call-ins, but I was personally contacted about these, and they are that Tracy and Tricia Strong celebrated their 25th anniversary this past week, and Miss Christy Beasley celebrated a birthday. So we'd like to wish them a happy birthday and remind everyone that try calling 243-5574 again, and hopefully we've got the problem worked out with the answering machine. And next week, if we get some folks that call in for birthdays that happened this week, we'll give away two of the cakes.
Thomas, I'm going to jump in here. My mother, Miss Deborah Craighead, has a birthday coming up at the end of the week. So everybody wish her a happy birthday.
Very, very well. I know, I think maybe a former student somewhere along the line and then a co-teacher over the years. So happy birthday, Deborah. And with that, I guess it's time that we shut the door here and close down again, let Matthew get back down and sell a few more trees and work on the project he's got going down there. And we'll get him back again here before long. And once again, I guess it's time we said, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here on 101.5 Kicks Country, WVFB. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, and good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.